Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Thinking about what to say this morning, I've decided I'm going to speak out of Luke chapter 8. Paul mentioned we've been going through Luke's gospel at our church over there in Sharston that he spoke at so brilliantly yesterday. And Luke chapter 8 is this classic passage where Jesus calms the storm. And then I wanted to just, you know, I'm always thinking, you know, tenuously, how do I weave Man United into my talks? Because, you know, like you, I'm a Man United fan. And this boy joined Man United recently. Did anybody know that? Well, funnily enough, the girl on the desk who's doing the AV today didn't know that Cristiano Ronaldo had joined Man United. How about that? She's like, who is that footballer? But the reason I'm showing you this picture is not because of that guy there. This is Ronaldo's first game at Man United. But because of that guy top right. That's my son, Sam, in his United shirt. It's like, where's Wally, that picture? And there was this picture. I love that picture. And Sam's loving it. And he's even got, you know, he's like 31 years old. He's got Ronaldo on the back of his shirt, Sam. And he's loving life there at Cristiano Ronaldo. Now, since that game, when it was all looking fantastic and he scored two goals in his first game, it's all gone a bit disastrously wrong, if you know anything about this season. But I remember that kid. He's there as a grown man. That's his first game back for United the second time. I remember as that kid going to watch him at Old Trafford with United. And I think he was 17 years of age. And he was doing all these mad tricks. And I said to my son, I'm telling you, Sam, I really believe he could be the greatest footballer we've ever seen. I said to Sam, I think he'd be better than George Best, that kid. And you know what he's done for the last, whatever you think about Cristiano Ronaldo, you can't deny that at 30-odd, he's still playing football at the most spectacular level. If you look at the amount of goals he's scored and the amount of records he's smashed, and there was something, wasn't there, about that potential when he was 17, and we've started to see it unfold over the next few years. So if you don't like football, what about this guy? You know, that is Andy Murray, right? Except he's Andy Murray when he's a little baba boy. And he turned up at Wimbledon in 2005, this scruffy Scot, and we've kind of claimed him as English because he's so good. But he turned up at Wimbledon and he was like, what the heck? We don't do good tennis players in Britain. We haven't won anything forever. And he went on from being that 2005, you know, like late teens. He went on to be the best tennis player in the world and won the big tournaments. And over the next few years, he just showed us how amazing he is. I say all that to you because in Luke's gospel, what we have with Jesus Christ, if you read it, is a young man who in a next level way unveils how amazing he is. If you read Luke's gospel, it starts to teach us about the best teaching the world's ever heard out of the mouth of this young lad in his early 30s. And then he starts to tell us about the miracles he does. You know, he's a guy that can actually put his hands on blind eyes and he can see and walk up to coffins and the people pop out alive again who were dead, etc., etc. A guy who can feed 5,000 people with a little kid's packed lunch, bit by bit, just unveiling who he is. In other words, he's God come to earth going, hello. You know, this is what I'm like. Look at me. Just look at the words. Look at the actions. Look at the stuff I do. Look at the way I live. Look at my heart for the poor and the broken. I'm just unveiling God's glory to get me. Over all these years, just showing us how amazing he is. And then in Luke chapter 8, he kind of ups the ante altogether. What's actually happened in Luke chapter 8 is they've been full-on ministry. They've been doing a Paul and Vicky, travelling to Cardiff, travelling to London, travelling back. Oh, we got church in the morning with that clown and the author. Oh, I've got to get out of bed early, you know. Like, going. They've been going so hard, and revival's been on, and they've been seeing healings and feeding thousands and all this crazy stuff going on and amazing. And they've become convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. They're riding this wave, but man, they're knackered. Ministry's exhausting. You know, full on, the kind of revival ministry Jesus and the disciples are operating in is absolutely exhausting. And so Jesus says, boys, let's go to the other side. Let's go to the other side of the lake. Let's get away from the crowds crowding around. I remember hearing about Wayne Rooney turning up in Salford to have his hair cut. He turned up at Salford to have his hair cut. By the time he'd had his number one at the local barber's, there were 2,000 people outside the barber's shop. You know, that was how Jesus was living at this point in his life. Just, they weren't just coming to see some footballer. They were coming to see the man who could heal and teach and the one that everybody said the Messiah's arrived on the scene. It was like chaos. And Jesus says, let's go to the other side. And it's like, yes, me and Jesus time. Chill out time. Rest time. Listen to this. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him and said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where's your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and waves to obey him. So they set out across the Sea of Galilee. And squalls, ferocious storms, can spring up very quickly in that part of the world. And it was chilled when they left. But suddenly, in the middle of the lake, this storm brewed up so ferocious that these professional fishermen thought they were going to die. Guess what? Jesus is asleep. I told you ministry was knackering, didn't I? Jesus was asleep in the front of the boat. Anybody going through a storm today and you feel like Jesus is asleep? Jesus knew when they set out this storm was coming. They thought everything was going to be great. And praise the Lord, I've got some brilliant news for you, church. Either you're just going into a storm, you're in the midst of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Because that's life. I don't know what you're clapping for, but it is life, isn't it? It is life. We face some ferocious storms in this life. That globally, we've faced a storm for the last 18 months, haven't we? For some of you, it feels like Jesus is asleep. But there he is asleep, and these disciples think they're going to die. I mean, it's that bad. The water's piling into the little rowing boat. They know they're going to go down. There's no way out of this. And actually, it tells us in Mark's gospel that, I think it's Mark, Matthew, or Mark, this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, that the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care we're going to drown? I mean, what a thing to say to Jesus. Don't you care? I mean, you know, what's Jesus got to do to show us how much he cares for scruffy people like me and you? Of course he cares, but he's asleep and they wake him up and he stands up. And the Bible says he rebukes the storm. In fact, literally, it's the rebuke you would give to a little French bulldog called Rodney that's snipping at your heels. It's that kind of rebuke. He just stood up in the boat and he went, down! And in that moment, the storm went from being terrifying, flat as a mill pond. Whoa! See, Jesus can do that. Jesus can do that. His timing's perfect. He can speak into any storm, any financial storm, any health storm, any relationship storm. Maybe today's the morning when he's going to speak into your storm. He can just go down, and the elements, creation itself, has to obey Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When he says down, Satan gets down. Like a little dog nipping at your heels. Down! How amazing is Jesus? So what's God got to say to us this morning from this brilliant true story? I believe there's three things that could literally change our lives if we get them. The first thing is this, that Jesus really wants to draw faith out of us. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, "Where's your faith, boys? I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm right in your boat. Of course it's going to be all right. I'm here." Where's your faith? Jesus will let us go through all sorts of things to draw out the irresistible currency of heaven in this church. It's called faith. Trust in him. If you've truly got faith in Christ, what can touch you? If you believe the living God's for you, with you, in you, he's chosen you. If you believe he died for you on the cross and he would have died for you, if you've been the only person he'd ever made. If you believe he rose from the dead and he's alive and working in you and in all over the world, what can touch you if you've got that kind of faith? Faith is like that little fuse and there's 10 million watts of currency coming down the power cable, but it needs a little fuse for the power to be let loose. Do you get me? There's so much power available to the Christian, and the little fuse that brings it all together is faith in Jesus Christ. When Jesus set off, he knew the storm was coming. And it was a test. It was a test of their faith. And some of you aren't going through a storm because you've sinned. You're not even going through a storm because Satan's on the attack. I mean, those things are possibly happening. You know, those are two reasons you can go through a storm in life. Because you're just an utter div and you let the Lord down. And you open yourself up to all sorts of stuff. You know, it's true. And that's many reasons people go, Jesus is still with you when you're like that. How amazing that. And some of you are going through storms of life because it's a downright satanic attack. Because he's out. But some of you, it's a test of faith. So you can learn to be more faithful on the other side. And anything that makes your faith grow is a blessing. You'll come out the other side able to help others who are going through the stuff you're going through. I remember seeing this poster, and it is so true for the Christian. And it just said it was a picture of a massive, like, cave. And on the other side, you could see light and beautiful creation on the other side. And it said, the only way out is through. And for some of us, the only way out is through. But his presence is all you need to survive. If Jesus is with you in the boat, it's going to be okay. I would hate to go through the trials of life without Jesus Christ in my boat. The trials I've been through, and people have been through far worse things than me, would have taken me out if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Definitely. I wouldn't still be standing. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Possibly in prison. Probably divorced and addicted and broken if I didn't have Jesus in my boat. And if you haven't got him in your boat, Jesus isn't in your life, in your heart, get him today. If you don't know Christ, he's with you and he's going to help you through all the rubbish that life throws at you, because Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. But he also said, take heart, because I've overcome. And if you haven't got Jesus in your life, get him in your life. And you can today. And I'm going to give you opportunity just before I step down to give your life to Christ if you don't know him. I wouldn't dare leave without doing that. So the first thing is Jesus wants to draw faith out of us. The second thing is Jesus is bigger than any threat life throws at you. Whatever you're going through, and I don't know what it is, but in a church this side and people watching online, there'll be some heavy duty stuff. And I was brought up in the church and then rebelled as a teenager, but I was taught a little chorus at Sunday school. Maybe they don't sing it anymore. And it goes like this. With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm, smile at the storm, smile at the storm. You know that song? You know that song?
With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at the storm. With Jesus in the boat, I can smile at cancer, smile at financial ruin, smile at disastrous relationships. With Jesus in the boat, I can have a cheesy Christian smile through it all.
No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we weep with those who weep. We hate the rubbish people have to go through in this life. But it doesn't take us out. Because Jesus is in the boat. And we can know God's power in the face of some terrible things that life will throw at us. And we can know that breakthrough moment. And I'm like, when Paul's doing his thing, and you may have noticed he preached my sermon before we even started this morning. And when he was saying his thing about healing, I was believing for that. I was believing for healing. Let this be the breakthrough moment, Jesus. When people have felt that deep threat of terrible disease and terrible illness that's from the pit of hell. Jesus is our healer. Let this be the moment. But I tell you what, even if you're not healed, because you've got to say that. We all know we long for healing. We see healing, but I've also prayed like I've never prayed before for one of my very best mates who's died of cancer during COVID. I don't even get it, but I know where he is now. I know Dave's not going to be like, Andy, can I come back, please? Come to your service this morning, you know, rather than be with the saints in glory. Jesus is bigger than any threat. He's got a bigger plan. He's got an eternal plan. And if he's with us, nothing will take us out. We're perfectly safe in the worst storm as long as we got Jesus in the boat. And the third and final thing I just want to say to you this morning is this. Jesus is Lord of all creation. This Jesus who left heaven and was born in that scummy stable in Bethlehem, he's Lord of all creation. You only took your last breath because he said so. He is going to return and wind up world history. Personally, I think it's sooner than a lot of people realize. We don't know when he's coming back, but it's all lining up. If you look what's happening around the world in terms of world mission, in terms of the persecution of the church, all the stuff, wars and rumors of wars. You just look at the stuff that's happened in this last little season of world history. Wow. Jesus is coming soon. Now, we don't know when. The Bible makes that clear, but we do know the season, and this is the season. We are living in the end times of end times. And Jesus, the Lord of all creation, will wind up world history. And the man Jesus, when God became a man, he was fully God, fully man, walking around the earth. I love the fact that he was tired and he was hurt by his friends and he was lonely and he was sad and he was let down. I love all that. The Bible says he's been through everything we go through, but without sin, every temptation, every struggle. It's not a far off, distant God. It's a God who left heaven. Jesus, Lord of all creation, the one who spoke and the universe was formed. Just look at his words. Look at his life. Look at his legacy. You know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross a few years later, you know, the Pharisees would have been like, oh yeah, you're going to build a church. It's going to go on into eternity. You've only got about 100 followers and they've all fled and said they don't even know you. Look at the state of you dying a criminal's death. But because Jesus is Lord of all creation, he keeps his promises. Because Jesus is Lord of all creation, he rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And you can know him this morning. You can know him with you, a power to take you through life, to go out and bless the world in his name. There's no life like that. It was the start of a dawning revelation for the disciples. This isn't just a great teacher. This isn't just a great rabbi. This is the Lord of all creation. This is God himself who deserves to be worshipped. And they were like, this guy, the wind and the waves obey him. Whatever wind and waves are coming your way, they have to obey at the word of Jesus. Jesus will only allow you if he's in your life, if you're following him. Otherwise, it's a massive gamble. You know, really, without the Lord, you know, if we just choose to do it our way, God, in his grace and in his kindness, he'll never force his will on anybody. But what a gamble to go through life without Jesus in charge. But what a confidence and a hope that the Lord of all creation is in my life and I can face everything, whatever comes my way, and I'll go out fighting. I mentioned that Lewis Palau, this partnership, you know, this, the first people we rang when we decided to do Festival Manchester was the Lewis Palau Association. Lewis Palau is a preacher who's just traveled the globe for his whole life, just pouring out beautiful mission. Millions have been won for Jesus. But yesterday, my mate, it popped up on his phone, a message that Lewis Palau sent me on my birthday, my 60th birthday last year. And the guy is like that close to heaven. This amazing, charismatic man who's in his 80s, was running on the stage to preach, is now being ravaged by cancer. And he's a frail little man, but he's lost none of his fire. And he's sent me this message on my birthday. Wow. He's like, go on, Andy. You know what he said? He said, Andy, make Manchester tremble in Jesus' name. He said, I'm behind you. He said, I've not got long left on this earth, but friend, on your 60th birthday, go for it. Go for it like never before. Preach the gospel. It's the only hope we've got. And last night, I was at this like fundraising dinner in the cricket ground for Festival Manchester, and Daniel Eduardo was there, who heads up our church relations team. His mum became a Christian when Lewis Palau preached. She, out of all sorts of chaos, she then went on to become a missionary, met her dad on the mission field, and they gave birth to Daniel, and the whole family's been transformed by the gospel. At that event was Emma Owen, who was like a crazy young teenager, went to hear Lewis Palau at the QPR football stadium. She gave her life to Christ, totally turned around. Untold kids have been reached by Emma Owen. She was in the tribe with me, and now she's heading up all the women's ministry for Festival Manchester. On Sunday at the festival, we've just booked Matt Redman, whose songs are sung. We sang one of his songs to start this. And we're going to have 1,000-strong kids choir, rappers. It's going to be amazing. Big celebration on the final day with his show part. Matt Redman became a Christian when he heard Lewis Palau speak at a thing like Festival Manchester. And I said this to my mate, Ian, who was at this fundraising dinner. I said, it's just so cool. I'm just meeting all these people and hearing all these people who've become Christians through Lewis Palau's ministry, not just become Christians, gone on through everything life's thrown at them to do amazing things. You know what Ian said? Did you not know I became a Christian at a Lewis Palau Festival? I'm like, mate, I've known you for 45 years. We grew up in youth group together. And you never told me that, yeah? I became a Christian when Lewis Palau preached at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester, and all his kids are Christians, and he's, you know, a businessman who's running these opticians that are just blessing the world in all sorts of ways. Oh, that's what we're looking at here, people. It's something that lasts forever, and the ripples of it are beyond belief. Why would you want to give yourself to anything else? Do you get me? So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing, Lord. We choose to follow you. We pray faith will be stirred up in this church this morning, whatever we're going through. Thank you that you're big enough. Anything life throws at us. In fact, you're Lord of all creation, and we worship you this morning. And I just want to say this, just in a little holy moment. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, if you've never really given your life, it's like the boat of your life, he's not in there with you. You know about him, but you've never made him Lord of your life, never really committed your life to Christ. Can I say, do it this morning? If you're watching online, put a little thing in the post. I'm giving my life to Jesus. But if you're here in this church and you want to give your life to Christ, I'm all in. Whatever life throws at me, I'm not buying into the easy life, but I'm buying into the Jesus life, a power to go through it. I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm making him Lord. I'm bringing him into my life, and I'm going to live for him because of what he's done for me. So if that's you this morning, after three, I want you to just raise your hand in this place and say, not raise your hand to me, but raise your hand to Jesus, yeah? Say amen. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand. That's it. Beautiful. Yeah? Hands at the back, yeah? Yeah, anyone else? You know, it'd be worth crawling all the way from South Manchester on broken glass. And there's girls at the back, guy here. Anybody else just want to say yes to Jesus this morning? Just by raising your hand, you're saying, Lord, here I am.
Anyone else? Just a moment. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you ought to bring him right in. Yes, that's it. Young girl, honestly, I'm telling you, that young girl, it'll change everything. It'll change everything. Beautiful. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together, can we? I'd love us to pray a prayer. So I'd love us to pray a prayer of full surrender. And if you've just raised your hand and said, I want to give my life to Christ, especially would you make this your prayer in your heart and your head? I'm just going to pray a prayer of full surrender, giving it all to Jesus. And as I pray it, I'd love the whole church to pray it. But if you raised your hands and at the back, and girl here, this guy, would you make it your own in your heart, truly giving your life to Christ? So let's all pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, come right into my life. Forgive every sin. And I choose you today. With your help, Lord Jesus, and by the power of your Spirit, I'll live all out for you for the rest of my days. Build faith in me, Jesus. Help me to face everything in your strength and live a life that worships you, because you're wonderful. Amen. Let's give the Lord a round of applause in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'd love to just pray a special blessing and actually just give you one of these books as a sign of what's happened today. If you raise your hand, just come and see me. I'll be down the front. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe Paul will tell you what else is going to happen, but just please come and see me. Not that I've got any magic powers, but Jesus is here and anything can happen. And it's been great to be here. Thanks for listening. God bless.
Praise the Lord. Man, wasn't that good? Huh? I don't know about you, but every time I get around people of faith, I just don't want to make any excuses about anything anymore. I just want to do God's will more and more. And I want to make an altar call, actually. I want to make an altar call. Old school altar call. Amen. For people that just say, you know what? I don't want to live safe. I want to live saved. I want to go. I want to reach. I don't want to hold back. You know, there's been a lot of holding back because of COVID. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, they sing that song, withholding something. Should be withholding nothing. But I really believe that we're coming into this time, this festival of Manchester, you know, in Victory Outreach, we're planting churches, we're reaching people, you know, and we're partnering with the church in this city to see this city won for Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if your family got saved, your neighbors got saved, your friends got saved? Wouldn't it be even more amazing if your enemies got saved? Hallelujah. And they became your friends. But it's going to take all of us to say, you know what? I want to live my life fully for God. Fully for God. And I want that faith to arise in me. And I'm going to have Andy come back in a minute and just pray for everyone for faith to just arise. So Anthony's going to lead us in worship with the team. And I want you to come. If you say, in this next season of my life, that I really want to do my all, my best, everything I can, for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the expansion of God's kingdom. Don't matter, I'm not even saying what it is, but God is calling people. God wants to just release something into us. He wants to release His Spirit. He's just looking for available, willing vessels to just say, I want to do something for you, Lord. I want to do something for you, God. then come forward right now. Just fill this place up, man. And let's just lift up our hands and let's just go before the Lord and make it really personal. And I want to do something. And come and just say, God, show me what it is. Speak to me. I believe God's raising up new pastors, new evangelists, new leaders. Young people, God wants to raise you up. You know, the gang wants to raise up. Young people. Single people, God wants to use your life. Married couples, God wants to use your life. There's teaching gifts in the house. There's prophetic gifts in the house. There's missionaries in the house. There's givers in the house. There's intercessors in the house. Come on, would you lift up your hands and just say, God, speak to me. God, move upon me today. God, we don't want to lose this moment. We want you to use our lives for your honor and glory. We want this city to be changed. We want this nation to be changed. We want to do something with what it is that you've given us, oh God. And let God speak to you. I was called in meetings like this. Anthony was called in meetings like this. Andy was called in meetings like this. Vicky got saved and called and filled with the Spirit in times like this when the Holy Ghost was raising up people. And look at what God done. Look what he does with a Sonny Argonzoni, with a Louis Palau, with a Nicky Cruz, with a Dave Wilkerson, with all of these great men of God. And he wants to do the same with you right now. Come on, just let him speak to you. Let him move upon you. Let him call you. Let him fill you. Come on, lift up your hands and say, God, I'm too empty. Fill me. I'm too empty. Fill me. Come on, let the passion of Christ start to rise up in you. If you ain't got passion, you ain't got life. Come on, tell him. There is something happening that is of spiritual significance today. There is something eternal. There is a revolution taking place. There is an uprising taking place. There is a pushback against COVID, against control, against the dampening spirit of this age and this world. And God is firing people up again. Maybe you've never been in an atmosphere like this. You know, I sometimes forget that we've had 18 months of lockdowns and online ministry and dampening of our spirits. And there's some people that are pulling back from Christ, playing it safe. And some people have got saved in this period and have never experienced an altar call or the power of God or the presence of God or a mission trip or an evangelistic outreach. They've never experienced it. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're thinking, wow, this is all a bit shouty. Let me tell you something, man. Every single Saturday and Sunday and throughout the week, you've got grown men and women shouting for 22 people running about on a bit of grass, kicking a bit of leather. Can't we get passionate about the God of all creation that knew how messed up we were and what a mess we made of his creation, but yet still said, you know what, you can't deal with that, but I'm going to help you out. I'm going to come and I'm going to do what you can't do to help you to come back to where it is that you need to be. And that person's name is Jesus. Don't you think we can get passionate about it? Can't you get passionate about being saved? I'm passionate. Me and my wife, 20 years of addiction between us, heroin, crack cocaine, 58 offenses, prison, madness, crime, violence and darkness, redeemed, washed away, cleansed, set free, forgiven, right? You want to know why we're passionate? Because we were lost and now we're found. We had nothing and now we got everything. You want to know why we're passionate about souls? Because we've seen people die with nothing, but we've also seen people come alive and get given everything. And I don't know about you, but there is nothing I would rather give my life to than that which is going to go beyond my life and the person that created it all. And he wants you. Check that out. He's calling you today. And some of you are like, who, me? I've got nothing to give. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He'll call you and then he'll start dealing in your life. And he'll raise you up. He loves you, man. He's looking for you. He wants to use your life to make a difference in the lives of others. And then your life is going to be one that counts. Oh, hallelujah. I want Andy to come back. Just pray some faith over us, man. Come on, lift up your hands all over this place.
We were talking before, actually, with Paul and Vicky, and just saying, what a passion killer this pandemic can be for the church if we're not careful. But if we lose our passion, we're never going to change the world. It's only the passionate people who change the world. You know that? It's not the best looking, smartest, best resourced. It's the most passionate. And I just want to pray that, that God will stir up a passion that cannot be quenched. That a church called Victory Outreach Church Manchester will be so passionate for souls, passionate for the cause of Christ. In some ways, they'll act like crazy people. They'll go hard. They'll give hard. They'll serve hard. And God will fill and equip them. And I pray that in Jesus' name, stir up our passion again, Lord. Where we've gone cold, set us on fire. Don't let us miss this moment. We sense, Lord, the harvest is on. Many are seeking you. And yet Satan wants to quench our passion, crush our passion. Lord, I pray for passionate people in Victory Outreach who changed the world. The passion that sent you to the cross, I pray will be in us. The power of your Spirit, Lord, fill us to overflowing. Let this be a line in the sand. No more of this flaky Christianity. The real thing, all out for Jesus. Let it be so much more than a song, withholding nothing. All to Jesus I surrender. You're worth it, Lord. We'll never regret a single sacrifice on our behalf. On your behalf, Jesus, the only sacrifice we'll regret is just sacrificing to this world, giving in, Lord, I pray. Stir us up in church this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. And just one more thing I want to pray. I'm an evangelist. I'm not the best evangelist in the world, but I'm an evangelist. And some ways I just want to pray for you. If you're like, you know, I long for that fresh measure of gift to the evangelist. You know what that is? It just means you want to tell people about Jesus, and you do tell people about Jesus. And when you tell people about Jesus, they give their life to Christ. It's a precious gift. And I just feel like God might want to stir that up in people this morning.
So we'll see this church added by salvation, not Christians who are feeling disaffected coming from other churches. It'll be added. You know what I mean? People added. And you'll be the people who bring them in. You'll invite them. You won't be able to stop yourself inviting them to Jesus. Do you want that gift, anybody? Just raise your hand if you're like, seriously, God, I want that gift. Now, I've not got no magic powers, but where Jesus sees a heart, he brings a gift. And if you've got a heart for the lost and the broken and you want to bring them in, I believe he's going to gift you in a special measure to do that. You don't have to be a loudmouth like the guys and girls on the stage today. Just you. You. You being you under the anointing of the Holy Spirit will bring him in. So I pray this morning here, or this afternoon maybe, it's morning still. This morning in Victory Hour, I pray you will generously give the gift of the evangelist. I pray my brothers and sisters will just, their hearts will be broken with the things that break yours. I pray in a fresh way they'll be inviting people to you. They'll be sharing the gospel, and every single one of them with their hands raised will see family and friends and neighbors come to know you in this season. Lord, give out that precious gift of the soul winner. We've seen it operating. It's beautiful, Lord. Not just on platforms, but day in, day out at the shops and the school gate and on our street and with our families, Lord. I just pray, give out the gift of the evangelist generously. Distribute it this morning, all for your glory, Lord. You know our hearts. You see these hands, Lord. Do it. Do it, Jesus. I pray this church will grow now through these people just going out unashamed, emboldened, passionate for you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You said it. I didn't make you. You said, I want to be an evangelist. So live like an evangelist.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website, vomanchester.org.uk, for more information.